The words of Jesus. But I say to you here, who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, continuing from last Sunday, we started into the Beatitudes. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where the Beatitudes were spoken, Jesus, to me, is describing what the Christian life looks like. Now that we have our salvation in Him, what does life look like going forward? Last week, Pastor discussed some of the blessings, and the text went on to some of the woes that come if you disregard the Christian life. And we discover, reading it, that He was actually talking mostly to His disciples. Now, that's not to say there weren't a whole group of people that followed there to hear the words that Jesus was teaching that day. But in this week's lesson here, we're going to crank up the intensity just a little bit. He tells us, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who abuse you, and that we are to be merciful, even as our Father is merciful. Wow! How are we supposed to do that? What does that look like in a world where we're seeing egos and division and anger and fighting constantly? What does that look like? Well, you look back to what the Word says. Last week it was blessings. This week we're to love our enemies. We're to bless those who curse us. We're to do good to those who hate us. And we're to be merciful. Again, the question is, how do we do this? Well, I got news for you. Apart from Christ, you can't. You can't do it without His help. What does history show? I always like to look back. Look at the story of Abraham. Look at the story of Noah. I always thought about Noah. It was kind of funny. The guy's building a boat in his front yard for 120 years. Talking about this rain and the storm that's coming. There was no rain at that time. Imagine the ridicule that he went through. Got to love your enemies at that point, right? And at the end of the day, he ended up with his wife, his three kids, their spouses, and a pair of animals for each kind, and that was it. Moses. Moses went through the wilderness, the plagues. He was yelled at by Pharaoh. He was yelled at by the Israelites. Wandered in the wilderness, made one little mistake. No promised land for you. You got the story of Joseph, the story of David, the story of Job. We could go on, and I encourage you to go on. But the question is, did they achieve this life on their own? How did they persevere? How many enemies did they have? How many issues did they have? I encourage you, go read their stories and see how they made it through. Now let's get back to Jesus and His disciples. I want you to realize that when this sermon is taking place, they are under Roman occupation, where Caesar is considered God. And if you didn't agree with it, you would be dealt with. And if you didn't follow their rules, you'd be dealt with. I invite you to consider the cross, the crucifixion. So put yourself in the disciples' sandals at this point. They've read. They know the Old Testament. They hear of the Messiah, the coming Christ who's going to save them. Save them from what? They're thinking the Romans. Jesus is going to ride in on this horse and he's going to wipe out all the Romans. He's going to reestablish the kingdom of Israel. And then that's why you see all the jockeying to get in that right spot so they can get that little position of power next to the king, Jesus, who's going to rule everything. Little did they know they were thinking too small. He wasn't going to free them from the Romans. He was going to free them from sin, from death, and from the devil. Got to think big. So imagine sitting up there on that hillside and hearing, love your enemy. They're under Roman occupation. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. And be merciful. You know, back in those days, a Roman soldier could come up to you and order you to carry his pack for a mile. And if you read Scripture, they were encouraged not to just go 1 mile, but to go two. Why? It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to let the love of God shine through you. Now, yes, we have issues here today, but we're spoiled. I remind you that we have yet to be tortured and killed for our faith. Sadly, the key word here is yet. Jesus is calling for them and for us to live their and our lives through faith in Him, by Him working inside of us, helping us to love our enemies, to help those who hate us, to bless those who curse us, to be merciful to people. Jesus practiced what He preached. He didn't just say, hey, do this. He actually did it. And He did it throughout all of Scripture, Old Testament and New. Because if Jesus is God, He was there in the Old Testament too. Look to history once again. Let's look back at those very same people to see God working His salvation through examples of grace and mercy and forgiveness. Think of Lot. Think of Noah again. Moses, Joseph, David, Job, and finally, the ultimate work through Jesus Christ. Healing, rescuing, loving, caring. Don't lose sight of the fact that this is the Creator in human form who spoke all of this into being. He humbled Himself. I encourage you, read Philippians 2 to understand how God became man and humbled Himself and came here to live with His creation. He makes the ultimate example as He hung there on that cross, taking our punishment, the one we deserve. What did He do? He asked the Father to forgive them, for they know not what they do. You want to know how to love your enemy? To bless those who curse you? To be merciful? Imagine hanging there on that cross, whipped, beaten, abused, spit on, jeered at from the ground. If you're the God, save yourself. Come down from that cross. What does He say? The very Creator of all things says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He frees us from that bondage of sin and death. Now, when you preach and when you teach, you always run the danger of pounding the law down on top of people. And if you want to hear how God works, reading Pastor's Thursday Thirst, he gave me the perfect out for all of this. He mentions, and I'm paraphrasing, so I'm not quoting exactly, there is no longer an external force, think law, needed for us to behave. He now lives in us, the gospel, changing how we approach things. His Spirit works and guides us, opening that door to love your enemy, to do good to those who hate you, to bless those who curse you, to pray for those who abuse you, and to be merciful. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. Are you seeing this? Are you understanding it? Are we looking at the Christian life? The good news is that He does the work. When we live the way He wants us to do it, it's because He is working in and through us. Romans 7. These things I want to do, I can't do. I don't do. The things I don't want to do, these things I do. So when I do the things I don't want to do, that is the evidence of sin working within me. But when I do the things I want to do, it's the evidence that Christ is working in me. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? Thanks be to God in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Are we perfect? No. Will we always succeed? Probably not. Do we fight against Him in doing what He desires for us to do? Absolutely, every day. Do we have forgiveness when we fail in this mission? Yes. He has given us His Word. He has given us the sacraments. He has given us the church. He provides all that we need to move forward in His mission of salvation and grace. Just a little reminder, when Jesus sent the disciples out, He didn't send them out individually. He sent them out in pairs and in groups. Why? How many of you have seen National Geographic? What does Peter say? The Satan is around like a roaring lion, seeking to kill and destroy. Do the lions go after the entire pack? Or do they separate one off by themselves? Not hard to see how that works, right? So we can be there to build one another up, to strengthen one another, to encourage, to celebrate victories, to mourn losses. But the important part is that we are there in a community with Jesus at the center. Now today we have a faith and fellowship brunch following our service. I encourage you to join us for the exact reasons that I have just mentioned. Connecting with one another and with Jesus. Connecting to the mission and the ministry of His church. Being built up, being strengthened, being loved, encouraged, and being prepared for His mission. May He bring us together for His mission, the strength to love all people, including our enemies, to bless those who curse us, to pray for those who abuse us, to do good to those who hate us, and to be merciful as He is merciful, faithful in providing forgiveness and salvation to all who come to Him and call on Him. In His mighty name, amen. Now may the grace and peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Please take this time of the voluntary to meditate on God's word.